In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this morning's meditation is the text just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one Easter morning, while preparing with my family to go off to worship service, I caught on TV a certain preacher from Texas by the name of the Reverend Joel Osteen. Being rather intrigued as to what he might say on Easter Sunday morning, for surely he would extol the gospel of the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting, I sat and listened to his sermon. Not only was there no cross to be seen anywhere in the sanctuary, but there was no mention of Easter, no mention of the resurrection, no mention even of the name of Jesus. You were just supposed to have a positive and uplifting day by concentrating on good thoughts. That was the Easter message that we heard from the Reverend Joel Osteen. No cross, no Easter, no resurrection. Sounds good though, doesn't it? You should have a happy life. You should have good things come to you. If you just believe them strongly enough, you will receive anything that comes your way that you believe in. Because after all, God wants you to be healthy and wealthy, and maybe a little wise anyway. There are other people who also have some good words. Try this one on and see if you can identify which group proclaims this as their central creed. We believe in God, the Eternal Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. Sounds real good, doesn't it? Until you hear that it's the creed of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Jehovah's Witnesses also have some very nice and wonderful and Christian-sounding words about what it means to follow God and be loyal to Him and to extol the name of Jehovah. That was His real name, after all. These words sound very nice. Too bad that they're not Christian. Not even the very least. Using the right words, it seems to some folks, is all it really takes to make you a Christian. After all, you can hear Mitt Romney talk very nicely about his dedication to his God and to faith and how strong he is in working towards the good of all people and his strong marriage. Until you realize that he really thinks and aspires to be a god in charge of his own planet in the next world. It's easy to say all the right words. If you just concentrate hard enough, go to PR school, and are very careful about what you say, you can make everything sound so wonderful. And so it was with the disciples of John the Baptist, who thought that they were Christians because they had been baptized into the baptism of John. Paul informed them otherwise, that person, Jesus Christ, proclaimed by John the Baptist as the Messiah, had died and risen again from the dead. Notice he mentioned Easter. Even so, you are forgiven of your sins. And they were immediately baptized. But then 2 years of preaching of St. Paul didn't seem to make an impact to people who thought that they were really good, God-fearing people. They attended synagogue every Saturday, probably made their kids go to Hebrew school, and after they were bar mitzvahed, made sure that they went to synagogue every Saturday. They were good, God-fearing people, weren't they? But they hadn't heard God's word really either, even though it was proclaimed every single Sabbath. And so Paul departed from them. And then there were people who thought that what being a Christian was really all about was being able to say the right words so that God would give them a magical gift from heaven, either a healing or an exorcism or other such goodies. And so they tried to exorcise demons in the name of Jesus Christ, only to have the demons tell them that they knew Paul and they knew Jesus, but they didn't know them. You see, it's easy to sound like you believe in Christ. even if you really don't believe the words yourself. The truth is, in those circumstances, what you really believe in is yourself and what's good for you. Martin Luther, once talking about John 1:15, the Word became flesh, said, "There is a world of difference between the words of a believer and those of an unbeliever. If faith is wanting, there is no power in the words. Unless the devil wants to strengthen an error thereby, he does not care if a godless papist or a sorcerer uses the same words that Christian quotes in faith." And so the question becomes, why are you a Christian? It's just as easy to assume that because we were baptized when we were infants and God has adopted us to be his own, that we were made to go to Sunday school, Lutheran school, confirmation class, that we went to a good pedigreed Lutheran college or seminary, and that we have classes with the most exalted professors on the face of the earth and have learned Greek even from the hands of Dr. Nordling, that's all that we really need in order to be considered Christians. But there is more to it than that. Most people get it backwards. They think it's what they do, what their pedigree is, what it is that they put efforts forth to do that makes them a Christian. But instead, it's being a Christian that makes that pedigree, that makes those good works, that gives us a chance to serve God. You see, it is faith in Christ that makes a Christian, not words that makes a faith in Christ. Faith in Christ comes to us, it's because it is not what we do, because if we depended upon what we did, we would surely fail very quickly and very miserably. It is because God himself decided to act that we are Christians this very day. It's not the particular church into which we were baptized. It was not the particular preacher who did the baptizing. It was not the fact that our parents had the gumption and the strength to bring us to church that makes us a Christian. But because God saw us that day and said, "You are my son, you are my daughter. In these waters of baptism, I unite you with my son, and you will live with me forever." That's what makes us a Christian. It's what God does that makes a difference. That God himself, as his son, descended from on high and became a human being, setting aside everything that he would want or desire, and all those riches and power and wisdom that he had as God, and went the way of the cross and died there for our sinful desires to run the world the way we would like it. Because he died and rose again from the dead, we are forgiven of our sins, we are restored to fellowship with God, and we will live with him forever and ever. In addition, it's because of that and the sending of God's Holy Spirit that we can do any good works at all, that the words mean anything at all for us. The Holy Spirit takes God's word as it is preached and plants it in our hearts, displacing the sin and the death and the evilness and the agendas that are there with his own Holy Spirit, and nurtures that faith in us so that we bear his fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, understanding, self-control, and all the other gifts that he has for us. It is because he has made us Christians that we truly are, and that we can see through all of the fancy and the nice words that are spoken by people that would like to separate you from your wallet more than they would like to reunite you with God. It is because of what Christ has done that we know what it means to be a Christian, and how it is that we can live a Christian life. And so now it is from the faith which he has given us that we live. And our works as we do them are truly good works, because really it is he who is doing them through us. And it is because of that faith given to us by our Holy Spirit that allows us to begin to trust and to hope for what comes next, when the end of our time or the end of time comes and we enter into eternal life with Christ our Lord. And so, I would advise, don't watch TV on Easter. Go to service. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.